Good morning. I'm so thankful that we today at Bell Bethel Church are blessed to gather here in a unique forum, in a unique circumstance. And I'm glad everyone that's online with us is able to join us today. The fact that I'm speaking this morning to an empty building and to a camera on the back of the wall reflects a change and new reality that we have. And I believe it is incumbent upon us to take advantage of whatever resources that we have. These are unique times. I've been hearing the word unprecedented bannered about a whole lot. And this is plowing new ground. And we as a country are faced with some things that we've never grappled with before. And with the Lord's blessing, and if He wills, we're going to deal with this as best He can as He gives us the wisdom and the grace to do so. I think it's very important this morning that we go to the Lord in prayer. And we lift up the name of the Lord and we beseech Him and have supplications to the Lord. My desire this morning is to preach to you words of comfort to God's people. I think that's what we need to hear. We need to hear words of encouragement. We need to hear words of comfort because these are the things that we stand in need of as we face unknown challenges. And if it's the Lord's will, that's what I want us to focus on for just a few minutes this morning. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in his second epistle, and he told them, he issued them this greeting. He said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. This same God who comforteth us in all our tribulation." That's us, isn't it? "That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." I think what Paul's telling us here is that Paul's saying the only thing I can comfort you with, church, is the same things that comfort me. Because as we've heard so many times before, recently, we're all in this together. Paul says, "I'm no different than you. And I today who stand before you, I'm no different than you." We all have to draw our comfort from the one who is the God of all comfort. So I pray that this morning we will be comforted by God's Word and we will be encouraged by God's Word as we face, hopefully, and for a brief duration, a new and a changed reality as we grapple with this going forward. I know we can't ask the congregation for names of those who ask interest in our prayers. We're in this unique circumstance right now. But we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders, for our president, for those in authority over us, that they would be granted wisdom to do the things that would protect this nation, and that we might be blessed to see the other side of this great challenge that we face. I know of our church this morning, Brother Bill is going to have a procedure tomorrow. He just became aware of this Friday night. And they're going to do it tomorrow. And I know he and Sister Denise ask for the prayers of the church, the Lord's people everywhere. So we do lift him up and this family up as he undergoes this procedure. There are those that have been on our prayer list. Of course, our nation, our church, those of our body, which we have continually prayed for, and we do lift them up. So if you'll bow with me for just a moment, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this unique privilege that we have to speak in Your name to our church and to the greater church. Lord, may these words that we speak this morning, may they comfort us as God's children. May they lift us up, not in ourselves, but in the one who we look to. Lord, give us the grace for each hour that we face. We ask that, Lord, you bless every ministering servant that is at this hour standing before your people to preach comfort and reassurance to them as well. Ask a special blessing right now. Lord, you bless me that I might be blessed to say those things, Lord, which would uplift God's children and that would be, as it were, a light in darkness and in this challenging time. Go with us now through the remainder of this service. Bless us on in life that we may in all things glorify you. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. I put on our Facebook social media earlier the fact that I had my mind was being led to try to delve into and to look at the 91st Psalm. I believe that in this circumstance, this is a very encouraging and unique and comforting psalm, which I think in a large measure is a blessing to God's people as we face challenging times. 16 verses. It's not very long. I don't know how far we'll get into this, but if it's the Lord's will for just a few minutes, I'd like us to consider this psalm of comfort, the 91st Psalm. There's quite a question as to who wrote this. Some say David wrote it, and they may be right. There are some say that others wrote this psalm. They may be right too. Some say it goes back to the days of Moses. But Moses was ultimately the writer of this psalm or this song. Whoever it is, it points toward comfort. And it gives us great reassurance of the things of God to God's people in trying and in troubling times. So for just a few minutes, we're going to focus on and look at and meditate upon the 91st Psalm that we find in God's Word. The writer starts out by saying, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's a message of great comfort to us. Like John 3:16, it's not a proposition. It's not a quid pro quo. You do this, God will do that. That's not the right interpretation of that. But what I think it is, for us today, it's a statement of condition. It's a statement of circumstances. And what the writer's telling us is that those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide safely under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Interesting language, isn't it? What is the secret place? Do you have a secret place? Does God have a secret place? All of God's children, brethren, are blessed with a secret place. In a simpler word, what he's describing here is the seat of your affections, your heart, your heart. Those that dwell in the heart of the Most High. Well, we know who the Most High is. That's God Himself. Interesting language that Moses gave on his prophecy at the end of his life in the book of Deuteronomy as he was fixing to depart. And Moses speaks to all of the tribes of Israel, all the way down, and he speaks to each of them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 12, he speaks of Benjamin. He speaks of who Benjamin is. Remember, Benjamin, of all of Jacob's son, he was, Genesis tells us that he was the baby boy. And he was born of his mother. In fact, that was, she died, Rachel died in childbirth. She named him Ben-Ami, which is my son or my child of sorrow. And Jacob says, no, that won't do. I'm going to rename him. I'm going to give him a new name. By the way, when God speaks to us, speaks to our heart, He gives you and I a new name as well. So Jacob gave his baby boy, the last of his sons, last of his children, he named him Benjamin. Not son of sorrow, but son of my right hand. That's what Benjamin means. As we read the chronicles of the struggles and the trials of Jacob and his children, we find that Benjamin had a very special place in his heart. And Jacob went to pieces, realizing that his son Benjamin had been taken down into Egypt in captivity, and it took a great toll upon him, and his sons realized what had occurred. Benjamin occupied a very important place as the baby boy in his dad's heart. So on Moses' deathbed, Moses speaks about the tribes, and he alludes here to the tribe of Benjamin, which is personified by Benjamin himself. And look what he says at verse 12. And of Benjamin, said Moses, the beloved of the Lord. That's how Moses describes Benjamin and his tribe. They are the beloved of the Lord. Isn't that a great label to have on you? That God loves you? That you today, as His children, are the beloved of the Lord. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by Him. You know, this almost, as we look at this, this almost mirrors the same message that we find in this first verse of Psalm 91. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by Him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long. Wow. What a promise of God. By God's own mouth, that this tribe of Benjamin is special. And they occupy in the Lord's heart a very special place. The Lord shall cover him all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. So that's a special relationship, brethren. Every child of God, every heir of grace, when the Holy Spirit comes in their heart, he places in them that Holy Spirit, and they're permanently and irrevocably changed. They're born again. They have within him what we would describe as a new heart. And that's the heart that God puts there. It's not a hard, stony heart. It's that heart which is described as that of flesh. And that's done by God. And you have a new heart. You have within you, child of God, the one who God has spoke to, you have within you the heart of God. And that'll never change. Once God performs that work in your heart, He never undoes that permanent work. And in that sense of the word, you're fit for heaven. Well, you say, Brother Jerry, is that what was under consideration here by Moses? No, it's not. You see, there's a difference between God dwelling in our heart and us dwelling in His heart. And He told us some of this experience here of Benjamin, that we know Benjamin was a child of God. God dwelt in his heart. But Benjamin also dwelt in the heart of God. In fact, look how it describes that. It says, "And he, Benjamin, shall dwell between his shoulders." You think about that, that might be kind of hard to decipher and to understand, but really what you think about it, it's not. You know, this is giving to God human qualities. And it's a long word that we call anthropomorphism. That is attributing to God attributes of a human that we can understand. You know, if you say God spoke, well, we speak. That's attributing to Him human qualities. That's talking about God's arm or His feet or His legs or His head or His hearing or Him speaking or anything. That's language that we can understand. And right here, we have the attribute that God has shoulders. Okay? And it tells us here that Benjamin dwells between his shoulders. Well, what's between your shoulders? Well, your head, for one thing, and your neck. That's true. But that's not what that's not what Moses intended. See, what Moses was telling us that Benjamin dwelt between the shoulders of God, and it goes to right here, which is the heart. And brethren, you as one who God dwells in your heart, you have the privilege by fellowship, by communion, by obedience, by love for, by devotion to the Most High, you have the privilege to dwell within His heart. That's a comfort. It's a comfort as we commune with God. Now, as we go forward with this, we're going to see that some of these, as we continue on these 16 verses, we're going to look at some of these, and as we read and study those, we're going to look back at those and we're going to say, well, hey, some of that applies to Jesus and some of that would apply to Him, and amen. Some of this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And if Moses was the author of this, he was blessed by divine inspiration to issue this prophecy. But you know, brethren, the good part is you and I are also blessed to be included in this as well. So this is applicable to us. And the writer tells us that he that dwelleth in the secret place, in the heart of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a promise. It's a promise. What's he telling me there? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to look out for you. It's a wonderful thought as we explore that. Have you ever thought about standing in a shadow? You know, we talk about people sometime and we say, that person is such a person of substance, such a substantial person. They cut a wide path. They cast a wide shadow. You ever heard that expression? What does that mean? That means that's a big person. One thing about shadows, brethren, is shadows, we think of it, you know, as us living in a time of shadows. In fact, we sing a hymn where there's no shadows there, and that's a wonderful thought, but shadows in this context are a wonderful thing. Has it ever been hot outside and you've been under a tree and you've been under the shadow of a great tree? Now, what does that protect you from? The heat or some other element that might be there? And we're blessed to be covered by that against the elements or from the elements in a time perhaps of great turbulence. a time of challenge or upheaval, such as what we face right now, the unknown, as we go forward. But we're blessed today to stand in the shadow of the Almighty, actually to rest and to be comforted and to be protected from it. You know, when you think about the anatomy of a shadow, you must have, first of all, an object that casts the shadow. You must have the object for which is being protected from. And then you and I, as the recipients and the beneficiaries of that shadow, where are we? If this is the object and this is the one, if this is the tree or that which is casting the shadow, where are we? Why, we're over on this side, aren't we? You see, the object that casts the shadow runs interference. The one that casts the shadow, that which we're able to stand in, is the one that we're able to be protected by from whatever element that might be, whether it be a windstorm, whatever problem that might occur. And brethren, the storm that we face right now in our lives, whatever that might be, whatever might be encompassed by that, do you know that you have one that stands between you and that storm? And do you know who that is? That's Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did He tell us? He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. That's the promise of God, that I will never leave you or forsake you. And that in the midst of all the trials that you face, I will be there with you. I don't mean to scare anyone or to be overly dramatic, but I think it's incumbent upon us to face the reality of what's going on out there right now. And this message of hope and comfort is couched in, and the context of it is, a new reality. Paul told us in Ephesians, you know, some people say, well, we just need to go on about our business and we need to have faith in God. Well, amen, yes. And I have my faith is what He's given me, and I rely on that faith. And you should as well. However, in the book of Ephesians, Paul told the Ephesian church, and this, remember, this was a church that was grounded in truth. Their faith was strong. But what did he tell them? He told them to walk circumspectly. What does that mean? It means observe the things around you and walk as wise. In other words, that's what wisdom tells upon us. When we walk circumspectly in the world, we observe all of the things that are around us, and we're aware of our surroundings, just as you and I today need to be aware of what's going on around us, as the wise do, and not as fools. You know, a fool, according to God's Word, is someone who ignores the evidence to the contrary. And that's what we're supposed to do, relying upon and looking upon the faith that the Lord has given to us. So today, we're able to lay hold to this promise, to this statement of condition and a statement of circumstance that David told us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of His wing. In the midst of that storm, let me finish the thought that I was fixing to make. We're called upon as a nation today, and again, I'm not meaning to be over dramatic, but I think there's reality in this. We're called on today as a nation and as a people to do something that this nation has never done, ever, in its history. As we quarantine ourselves, as we separate ourselves off to overcome this enemy that's there. You know, there are times, brethren, when a person will be in the hospital, and they will be so sick and so afflicted and in so much danger for their natural health that the caring and attending physicians around them will tell them, we recommend that we put this patient in a drug-induced coma for a period of time that they may recuperate, that they may heal, and hopefully they will be able to come out of that. You know, that's essentially what we're fixing to do as a nation. As she grinds to a halt. Now, there can be panic, and there can be fear in that. But brethren, we think better. We know better. Because we know that he that dwelleth in the secret place, in the heart of God, that God himself will abide under the shadow of the Almighty himself. That's our God. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. God is my refuge. He is my place that I flee to. Is it that way with you? Is he your strength? Is he the one that you're able to look to in all of the circumstances that you're faced with? My God, in him will I trust. I think it's the 20th Psalm. David said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Is it that way with you? And I'm thankful for all of the medical technology and those that are on the forefront battling this and other things. And I thank God that he has made this available to us. But please know and please understand that the source of all healing is ultimately this one who is the Most High, the Almighty. And he gives this revelation to us. And I'm blessed that we today are able to look to him. Kind of like Jehoshaphat over there. Remember him? There were more enemies there on the border. And he goes to the Lord and he prays. He says, Lord, there are more of them than there are of us. Kind of seems that way sometimes, doesn't it? There's more of them than there are of us. And panic sets in. You know what that means? We don't know what to do. That's the essence of panic. To not have a plan and don't know where to go and what to do. There's more of them than there are of us. And we don't know what to do. Here's the good part. But what did he say? But Lord, our eyes are upon thee. That's who I'm looking to. That's the one that's going to deliver us through this and every trial that we have of our lives, whatever it might be. It's him. He is that God of all comfort. And he's going to sustain us through this and every trial that we face. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I got some bad news. If your confidence today is in your 401k plan, you might want to do a reassessment. Is that what you're confident in? All the things around us, brethren, it's the Lord himself. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, the trap of the bird hunter. You know, one of the interesting pictures of this as we look at this, we find that we see the analogy here to that of a bird. You know, first thing we find that he is under the shadow of the Almighty. And in just a moment here, if we get that far, we're going to see that we speak about God having feathers. Wow. Did you know that? Well, does God literally have feathers? I don't think so. But this is a way that we can express this and have a clear picture of our God in the way that he protects us and undergirds us with the shadow of his wing. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome, which literally means noxious. That which is dangerous, that which can kill you, and from the noxious pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. There's that picture there. And again, I don't believe God has feathers, but it's okay for the writer to use that to illustrate this God of love that we see in Scripture. You know, the Lord Jesus himself was lamenting and he was weeping over Jerusalem and their unbelief. Jesus had come to his people and they received him not. And it was his great lament and the sorrow. They grieved God for rejecting this Messiah. And remember what he said? Remember what the Lord said as he spoke to this people that are his, as he cried over them and he grieved over them, and ultimately, he passed judgment upon them. Remember what he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent amongst you, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathered her chicks beneath her wings." You see the analogy? Jesus himself uses that as little chickens gathering underneath that mother hen to protect them with her feathers and her wings. "How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings, and you would not." Here comes the judgment. And this ought to scare every child of God today. This is a motivation in negative. But Jesus said, "Behold, you will see me no more. Your house is left unto you barren, empty, desolate. You will see me no more until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." This is how Jesus himself used the analogy of a hen and chicks. You know, you think about those feathers, and you think about a hen's wings, and you know, while it does protect, it seems rather delicate, doesn't it? Seems very fragile. I mean, they have more strength than you might think. You know, you ever got a hold to a chicken wing? And, you know, that bone's pretty substantial, isn't it? But it has the appearance there of being rather fragile. But look what the writer tells us here. "And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth," the truth of the Lord, the truth of his Messiah, the one that came to bear witness of the truth, "his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler." You mean that's all we got? You mean all I've got in defense of his truth is a shield and his buckler? Well, let's analyze that. You know what a shield is? Paul alluded to having a shield there in that armor of God that we're blessed with. He called that shield the shield of faith, did he not? And we have that to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. You have that measure of faith that he's given to you, and it's encumbered upon you to use it, pick it up and use it when needed. And we find here that his truth shall be thy shield. Shield's a big apparatus. It's a big piece of equipment. It's an equipment. It's a piece of warfare. It's primarily a defensive mode that we have. Can be offensive, but primarily it's defensive to stop the incoming. And Satan's got a lot of that at you. There's a lot of incoming. And that shield, that large piece of barrier will withhold that. But you know, it's interesting what he says here. Thy truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. You know what a buckler is? A buckler is a mini shield. You got the big shield, and then you got a little bitty one. And you know what a warrior would do? A trained, skilled warrior. He would use them both. He'd use them. He'd use everything that's in his arsenal. Remember that Peter told us that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Translation, he's given you everything you need. And in this circumstance, thy truth shall be the big shield, but it's also going to be a little smaller shield that's about this big. And you can use it more nimbly and more adeptly, perhaps, than that cumbersome large shield. Isn't that beautiful how that lays out? That God has given to you and I everything that we need. And that truth is that in our lives today. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Terror. Terror. Terror is not just fear. Terror is the most intense fear and dread that there is. It's off the scale. Have you ever been in terror? Have you ever been literally terrified? I was talking to some people one time before the hurricane that we thought was going to hit Tampa, and these were people that were trying to get ready for everything, and I was speaking to them, and I said, "How y'all doing?" And they looked at me so sincerely, and they said, "We're terrified." Y'all remember that storm? I do. You know, that thing was making a beeline for Tampa. Remember that? It was coming right our way. And it was a bad one. And everybody was trying to do everything that they could do in order to get ready for this monster that was fixing to come to us. And their answer was, "We're terrified." You know what I was able to do? I was able in that circumstance to give them a little comfort. You know what I was able to tell them? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And brethren, that's what I'm going to tell you right now. Are you terrified? Do you have about you this intense fear of dread? Do you just don't know how this is going to play out as this country goes into a self-induced coma? Do you not know what to do? And we're in uncharted waters, never done this before. Is there about you an impending sense of foreboding and dread? I can understand that. But you know what else? You know what the Lord told us? Don't be afraid. What did he tell them as he was walking on the water and they thought he was an apparition? The disciples were there and they thought he was a ghost. And here's this man walking on the water. When he got close enough to him, remember what he said? "Fear not, it is I. It is I." Can you see why they would have been afraid? Yeah. But his answer, when they heard his voice and they knew his voice, they were able to be comforted by what they heard. "Fear not, it is I." So brethren, my answer to you today is, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. You know, danger can come at noontime. You know, I just didn't see that one coming. You ever said that? Weren't prepared for it. nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noontime. My time is about up right now. I got to these six verses. But I want to close with this. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 41. I want to comfort you with the words of this prophet Isaiah. I could go to Isaiah 43, but, you know, there's so much comfort and encouragement that we find from this prophet, but I want to look at Isaiah 41. And I want to go to verse 10. This was in one of our hymns that comfort God's people today. How Firm a Foundation was a hymn that comforted some of our early presidents of our nation today. As they sing, How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. Look at verse 10, chapter 41, Isaiah. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Can you think of anything more comforting than to be upheld by the righteousness, by the hand of the righteous God, as He exhibits His righteousness and strength? Behold, all they that were incensed against thee, your enemies, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them. Thou shalt not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught, as just nothing. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. I want to close with this. Look at verse 14. This is God speaking to Israel. This is God speaking to you, and I trust to me. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Fear not. Don't be afraid, you worm Jacob. You know, there's a lot of people today that if they were able to understand the context of that, that would just be offensive words. You know, how dare you refer to me as a worm? Well, you know that's what you are. You're a worm. What are the attributes of a worm? Totally and completely helpless. Helpless. Has to be picked up and taken somewhere. And God uses this analogy for His people that He loved. Remember, He loved Jacob. Yet He calls Jacob, thou worm Jacob. So what does that mean? You can't do anything for yourself. You're helpless. You're powerless to help the situation. Yet our God is able. And what's He able to do? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Not only is He able, He does it. He does what He wills. And what does He will? To draw His beloved children together and to redeem them and to walk with them while they're here in this world right now. And it's His greatest delight that you might dwell between His shoulders. That you might dwell in His heart. You know, we sing that hymn, don't we? There is a place of quiet rest. Where is it? Near the heart of God. You know that you, by virtue of your birthright, you're able, you're empowered to ascend to that. He lets you under His wings. And that comfort and that protection is there. So in closing this morning, let me go back to this first verse that I hope you will meditate upon. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a promise. It's a promise for you and I today as we go forward. Bow with me in prayer. Lord, Father, we just look to You, Lord, for all of the things that we need. And we rely on You totally, Lord. We're realizing we are that worm, Jacob. And we have no righteousness in and of ourselves to call upon. But we look to Thee, realizing that You're the one going to bring us through with a high hand and in Your power.
Are you recording?
Be with us, Lord, through these times. Let us feel the blessings of Your presence. May we, Lord, seek Your face. May we seek Your fellowship and Your comfort as Your little children, Lord. Go with us now through this day. Be with us in all circumstances. In the name of this Jesus, we ask. Amen.